So it's been more than 40 years ago, but I remember well. It was just this most amazing, awesome experience. It was a Sunday morning. I was at the Union Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Large congregation, large building. I was seated. It was one of those chapels where there are three sections. They're not a middle row. They're two side rows. And so there's a section here, a section in the middle, and another section just full of people. And I was seated in the middle, front to back, and in the middle, side to side, in a large group of people. And we were there for a special commissioning service for people who would be serving in various missions opportunities around the country. And there was this choir. They filled the choir loft. I don't know if, well, I should tell you, back in the old days in chapels, there used to be this section up behind where the preacher stood, and there'd be seats and people would go. Sometimes they wore robes. They were wearing robes that day, I promise you. And they'd be up there, and we called them a choir. They would sing. They would sing during the hymns, and they would sing special songs a long time ago. This chapel also had a balcony, and so the choir loft was full. The balcony was full of the choir, and there was some of the choir on each side. And they sang. And I was in heaven. I mean, it was the most amazing experience. Breathless awe in the presence of God. One of those kinds of experiences where you just don't want to leave. Apostle Peter had an experience like that. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 7. First few verses, Lord Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up onto a low mountain. And there, in front of them, Lord Jesus becomes this radiant source of glory light. And people from the Old Testament come, and they're there with him. And Peter, James, and John, they're just there. They're just watching. And they're overwhelmed, as you would imagine. And then the light was gone, and the visitors were gone, and it was just Lord Jesus. And Apostle Peter said an interesting thing. You know, the disciples were like us. They were just people like us. Over and over and over, you find them doing things in Scripture that would be like what we would have done. And that's what happened with Apostle Peter that day. He said, Lord, this is just phenomenal. How about if we make three tents? Now, you think that tents are like where you're going to go temporary for camping. No. These are places to live. It would be like he would have said three small houses. Let's just build them here on the mountain and stay here. That's what we think of worship is. We think of worship as this just overwhelmingly awesome experience, and we just don't want to leave. We just want to stay there. And certainly worship is, but it is so much more than that. Worship is so much more than some breathlessly awesome experience that you never want to leave. And so we're going to look at that today. Today we're going to be considering together truth from Scripture about what worship is. What are some of the expressions, some of the ways that it looks, different sorts of worship, and why that matters. My desire is to share the truth with you in a way that the Lord will use to reveal truth to you, both during the message and later. And that's not something I can do on my own. That's not something I should try to do or I'm able to do. That requires that God would work in me and would work in you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, eternal God of truth, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds as you lead us in truth, with truth, to truth, that we may honor you in spirit and truth in both word and deed. For we earnestly and humbly desire to be the illuminators and instruments of truth that you call and empower us to be as individuals and as a church. Amen. So first, what worship is? Worship is celebrating the sovereignty of God. Worship is celebrating the sovereignty of God. Worship is not something we do to escape reality. Many times I hear people talking about worship. They're talking about being overwhelmed by all the difficulties and problems and challenges. And, you know, I just need to get away from it all. And we do. But worship is not a place that we go to escape. It is where we go. It is what we experience to embrace the reality of God. Worship is not an escape from reality. It is our embrace of the reality of God. Worship is not an emotion. Worship is not something that we feel, something that happens to us. Worship is celebrating the sovereignty of God. It is our deliberate action to celebrate the sovereignty of God. I am not telling you that worship is never connected to emotion. I just shared with you that it is. That frequently worship can be accompanied by, or that emotion can be accompanied, can accompany worship, or it may follow worship. But worship is what we do to celebrate the sovereignty of God regardless of how we feel. See, we don't wait until we feel like worship in order to celebrate God's sovereignty. And in fact, if you have not experienced it already, then I encourage you to watch and see. What you're going to learn is that frequently that emotion comes after you follow through with the deliberate choice, regardless of how you're feeling, to praise God, to bless God, to serve God, to worship God. But if your measure of whether or not you've worshiped is nothing more than how you feel, you don't know worship as Scripture reveals it. Hear me one more time say, I'm not telling you that there is no emotion in worship. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's not the seed of worship. It's not the source of worship. It's the fruit of worship. And so this definition, celebrating the sovereignty of God, comes from an understanding of how the Bible describes worship. In the New Testament, the word that's most often translated from the original languages to English is a word that for worship is a word that means to kneel in homage to someone or something. It's used like 60 times in the New Testament. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, there's a description of how a leper comes to Lord Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Scripture says that as this person with the leprosy came and approached Lord Jesus, that he got down and bowed before him. It's just an acknowledgement, a bowing before, and that's the word that's used sometimes just means to bow in front of someone, but frequently is translated worship. In John chapter 9, for example, Lord Jesus meets a man who is blind from birth, and he heals the man, And there's a variety of things that happen in the middle of the chapter. And toward the end of the chapter, he approaches the man again. And the man learns that Lord Jesus is the one that had healed his blindness. And scripture says, John 9:38, that he worshiped Jesus. And this is the word that's used there. It means to get down on your knees and even put your face to the ground, to bow in homage. There's a very similar word that's used in the Old Testament. It means basically the same thing. And it's used in this word is used in the Old Testament like 175 times. For example, Exodus chapter 18, verse 7. Moses has been gone for a while. He comes back and he reunites with Jethro, his father-in-law. And the Bible says that as Jethro approaches him, that Moses bows down in front of him to honor him as an elder. So it just means to bow in front of someone. It's frequently used in the Old Testament for bowing in front of a king. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 23, the prophet Nathan comes to speak to King David. And it says that he comes when he approaches King David, that he bows in front of him. So it's a word that just means to bow, to physically bow in front of someone, to acknowledge superior authority. And this same word is used to mean worship. So in Psalm 95, verse 6, when it says, come, let us worship and bow down, right? Let us bow before the Lord, our Maker, right? So that's the word that's used. So it just means to acknowledge someone's superior authority. But when it's referring to God, it means to acknowledge God's supreme sovereignty. And it is something that we do willingly, not grudgingly. It's something we do enthusiastically. That we come before God acknowledging, celebrating the sovereignty of God. Celebrating the sovereignty of God is what worship is, and it takes many forms in Scripture. Perhaps the one that we think of most often from the Bible is sacrifice. And indeed, in the Old Covenant, there was a whole series of sacrifices that were called for in worship to God. And that began right there in Genesis. The very first sacrifice of worship offered to God that's recorded in the Bible is Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. Where it says in verses 3 and 4 that both Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to God. Cain brought sacrifice from the crops of his field. Abel brought sacrifices from the flocks that he tended. And all through the scripture, costly sacrifice. For if it is not costly, it is not a sacrifice. So it's not just like tipping God. It's not like, well, what do I have in my pocket today? I didn't think about it in advance. I haven't really thought about it this week, but I'm here and they're passing the plate. What do I happen to have in my pocket? That's not a costly sacrifice. That may be more serving you than it is serving God. A costly sacrifice. Starting with Genesis chapter 4. But then, most of us, when we think about worship, we think about praise. And certainly, worship is joyful praise. All through Scripture, you know this over and over and over. But praise takes so many different forms. For example, listen to the different forms of praise in Psalm 33, verses 1 to 3. Shout for joy in Yahweh. And I don't know when was the last time you shouted in praise, but shouting in praise is a common experience in the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, people shouted, hallelujah. They were shouting in joy in Yahweh, you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Praise Yahweh with the lyre was a stringed instrument. with a 10-stringed harp, make music to him. Sing to him a new song. Skillfully play with loud shouting. This is the description of joyful praise, exuberant, even where it's difficult for us to contain it. Shout to the Lord and play skillfully with loud shouting, singing on all kinds of instruments. And then there is grateful blessing. Blessing is what we offer, guys. When we speak of in praise, when we speak in recognition of the blessings, how God has blessed us. And so I'm going to share with you Psalm 103. And as I share this, and you may read along if you want or just listen to it, but hear what it is that the psalmist is blessing about God. Just acknowledging the many ways that God has blessed us. When we think of blessing, so often we're thinking of how God is blessing us. But worship is us blessing God. And that's why I said a moment ago, if worship is only an emotion for you, that's not something that you're offering God. That's what God is doing with you. That emotion is God blessing you. Your worship is what you're offering to God, according to Scripture. Psalm 103, bless Yahweh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. And then they start listing them. Who pardons all your guilt, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with favor and tender mercies, who satisfies with good and beautiful things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. Yahweh performs righteousness and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the son of Israel. Yahweh is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always contend, nor will he keep anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our guilty deeds. For as high as the heavens and are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our wrongdoings from us. There should be some hallelujahs going by now. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our form and is mindful that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, like a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place no longer knows it. But the mercy of Yahweh is everlasting to everlasting for those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Yahweh has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless Yahweh, you his angels, mighty in strength, you who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless Yahweh, all you his angels, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless Yahweh, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, my soul. That's grateful blessing. That is worshiping God, in blessing God, and pronouncing, acknowledging, and celebrating his many blessings to us. But worship also is humble adoration. It's not only limited to thanking God for his blessings to us, but it's just expressing adoration to him for who and what he is. For example, Psalm 113, verses 4 and 5. High above all nations is Yahweh. Above the heavens his glory is. Who is like Yahweh our God who dwells on high? Not because of what he does for us, it's just because of who he is, and we adore him. Isaiah 40, verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, tires not, neither wearies. His understanding is unsearchable. Now, while you may not have thought of all of these as worship, they are some distinct from each other. But there is another form of worship that's very important for us to understand from Scripture that frequently we miss. Because you see, I shared with you one of the words that's translated worship in the Old Testament. It means to bow down before. But the word that's used most often in the Old Testament for worship is a word that means to work, to serve. It means to do something. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Does Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? You see, obedient service is meant to be worship. Not when we're doing it grudgingly or reluctantly, but when we are eagerly serving the Lord and obeying the Lord, it is a way for us to worship Him. Both Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 describe how it is the Lord Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan came to tempt Him. And one of those temptations, Satan says, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. For indeed, Satan is the prince of this world. And Lord Jesus responded with Scripture. And He says, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. One of the most amazing descriptions, all through Scripture, but one of the most amazing places in Scripture that describes this is Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 describes how people are frustrated with God because they are fasting as an act of worship, and God's not doing what they want in return. Of course, we don't do that, but that's what they did. Now, fasting is never commanded in Scripture. It was a frequent practice, and some people continue to use it today, and it can be a way to focus our attention on the Lord. It can be an act of worship. But if I'm doing it as to try to make a deal with God, that's not worship. But Scripture says in Isaiah 58 that worship, the worship that God expects, the worship that God looks for, is justice. And it's summarized in verses 5 to 7. Is it a fast like this that I choose? Now listen to this description. Is it a fast like this that I choose? God is speaking. A day for a person to humble himself? That sounds right. Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes at a bed? Yep, repentance. That sounds right. Will you call this a fast? Even an acceptable day to Yahweh? Well, yeah, I would, right? I come humbly, repenting to God. But verse 6, is this not the fast that I choose? To release the bonds of wickedness, to undo the ropes of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to break your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Obedient service is worship, is a worship that God expects. Because as we obey Him in service to what He has called and commanded us to do, we do that with a willing heart. We are celebrating His sovereignty, not just with our mouths, but with our hands and feet and bodies. It's summarized in a great way in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Through Jesus, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of lips affirming His name, but doing good and sharing, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And this matters. It matters that we worship as He describes it in Scripture because he commands us to do that. He commands us to worship. Psalm 29:2, give to Yahweh the glory, due his name. And that word give is an imperative, it's a command. Give to Yahweh the glory, due his name. Worship, that's an imperative. And this is, that word means bow down before him. Worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. We are commanded. John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, they're describing Lord Jesus is there at the well in Samaria. There's a woman with him. And he says to her, verses 23 and 24, a time is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those worshiping him in spirit and truth must worship. This matters because worship is what we are commanded to do. It also matters because worship is where we're all headed. That's where we're going to end up. Psalm 86:9, all peoples whom you have made will come and worship. This is that word, bow down before you. Will come and worship before you, Lord, and will glorify your name. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the peoples will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. That's where we're headed. And I've told people before, when we're singing praises, we're practicing. We're going to join a huge choir one day. And we're practicing. We're getting ready. That's where we're headed. It matters. And worship, if you've taken a nap, I want you to, if the person beside you is snoring, nudge them, because I want you to hear this. Worship is how we are called to live. Worship is not some place where we're supposed to just go visit. If you have to come to this physical space to worship, then you don't know worship yet. Scripture calls us to live, to dwell in worship continually, not just visit, periodically. Now, on the back side of your note sheet, there is most of Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 71. And I'm going to ask you to do something with this passage. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to underline the names of God on those verses, to circle anywhere that it says to dwell or continue or over time to do this, and to put an asterisk next to where there is some form of worship. For some reason, the circles are not showing up on the screen, so I'm just going to tell you about that. But you'll see on the screen these different names for God that are underlined. In verse 1, Yahweh and refuge. Verse 3, rock of dwelling and fortress. But you'll also see in verse 3 where it says, to which I may continually come. So circle that, continually. It says that we are to continually come to him in worship. Verse 5, you're my hope. That's a name. Lord Yahweh, you're my confidence. That's a name for God. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. That's a name. In verse 7, you are my strong refuge. That's a name for us. And so also you'll see in verse 6, it says that I might praise you continually. In verse 8, it says that my mouth is filled with your praise. And so you have an asterisk next to those. And then in verse 6, it says that I have leaned on you since birth. So that's an ongoing circle that since birth. And in verse 6, my praise is continually of you. So you want to circle that one. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your honor all day long. So circle that. So do you see that we have God is named here over and over in this passage in many different forms of worship, and we are called over and over continually to worship him. But as for me, I will wait continually. You want to circle that in verse 14. And will praise you more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. In verse 15, for I do not know their measure. And I will come in the might of Lord Yahweh. I will call to remembrance your righteousness, yours alone. And in verse 16, you have Lord Yahweh as the name that's there. And you also see in verse 14, praise, put an asterisk there. My mouth will tell of your righteousness. We're blessing God, honoring him in adoration in that verse. In verse 17, God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your right wondrous deeds. And even when old and gray, God, do not let me go until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, God, who is like you. So you have names of God there in several different verses. You have in verse 17, declare your wondrous deeds, put an asterisk. Declare your strength in verse 18, put an asterisk. Those are forms of worship. And then you'll see what it says in verse 18, even when I'm old and gray. So in a previous verse, it was starting from birth. And now even when I'm old and gray, so I'm continuing in worship. And then it continues to say that we're called to do that over and over. So I want you to see here just this expression of what I've been sharing with you, that worship in Scripture is not a place for us to visit ever so often. It is how we are called to live and dwell in worship. Amen? So, I guess there was one more, right? All right, verse 22. I will praise you. I will sing your praises. Put an asterisk there. Verse 23, I will sing praises to you. Put an asterisk there. 24, I will tell of your righteousness. Put an asterisk. Those are forms of worship. 23, shout for joy. And you have the names, God, Holy One of Israel. And then you have circled, I will sing to you. I will shout for to you with joy. All day long, it says in verse 24. So, how about if we just do this? What do you think? Would that be all right? Would you praise the Lord with me? Let's praise the Lord together. I want you to see that all of Psalm 71 is a blessing to God. The entire psalm is lifted up as a grateful blessing to the Lord. So, let's do this together. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. The moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. A thousand generations falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever to the Lamb. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy. Holy forever. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. O Lord, thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Thou, O Lord, art high all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee. O Lord, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee. O Lord, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord. Amen. Go and worship.